Two passages this morning for our reflection. The first is from Genesis chapter 22. The second reading will be from Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read that later. So for now, we just read from Genesis 22. And I read the first 19 verses. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about." Well, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, "You stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship, and then we will come back to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the lamb and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of the son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day he said, "On the mountain the Lord will be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." And then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set out together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Dear friends in Christ, today is Father's Day. It's a day in which children have the opportunity to express gratitude for the good that they have received from their father. You notice I work that very carefully. For the good that they have received from their father. Because I know that fathers sometimes give what is not so good too. I know I'm wrong. And we do not thank our fathers for those things. Abraham was a father. I ask you, was he a good father? Would a good father be willing to sacrifice his son, his child, By the same token, God was, God is a Father too. Is God a good Father? What do you think? Was what he asked Abraham to do a good thing? Was it right? Did you ever ask this question? God, we read in verse 1 of that chapter 22, God was testing Abraham, testing his love, his fear of the Lord. But to ask Abraham to offer Isaac, the son of his and Sarah's old age, his impossible old age, through whom God had said that he was going to fulfill his promise to make a great nation of Abraham. Surely, Abraham would have been, could be excused, right, for thinking that somehow to sacrifice him, his son Isaac, couldn't be right. I mean, do that. And how is God supposed to fulfill his promise? Besides, isn't the Bible clear about the fact that God absolutely forbids his people sacrificing their children on the altars of pagan gods like Molech and Chemosh and Baal and company? Totally clear. I mean, it's black and white in the Bible. I read in Leviticus 18, you can find it in Leviticus 20 as well, but in 18, that God instructs Israel through Moses, quote, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not sacrifice, or you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You know why? His God's God. Our God is not Moloch or Baal. He's not a pagan kind of God. He is the one, only, true God. There is no other God beside him. And all the gods, all the other gods, are no gods. And everything, everyone, Abraham, Isaac, and all of us too, all of us owe our life, our existence to that one true God who created us all. Who owns us all. Idol gods have no right, you know, they have no rights to claim human beings, to claim that they've been sacrificed to them. They have absolutely no rights. And God gets very furious with anger and jealousy when his rights are given to idol gods. But God, the true God, he's the only one who has the right. Abraham, I put you to the test. Offer your son, your only son, Isaac, to me. And we read, quote, that early in the morning, the next morning, Abraham got up. He seems to have to do it. Don't know that he talked it over with Sarah. Not always one of our better traits either, is it, guys? So there they go, the two of them. And as they're going together, Father, says Isaac, Yes, my son.
The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And then it said the two of them went on together. Doesn't that right? Abraham and Isaac, father and son, on their way together to do God's will. Had to be incredibly difficult. On this Father's Day, aren't you glad you're not Abraham? Not always easy to do God's will, is it not? You discovered that, haven't you? We all have. I mean, it can cost you so dearly. Not everyone is willing to pay the price. But Abraham was prepared to do it. He bound his son on the altar, and as he raised the knife, Abraham, stop! Don't lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God, equals love God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And miraculously, God did provide the lamb. A ram caught in the thickets, in the bushes, with his horns. Still, I gotta tell you, this story shakes you up. Shakes me up. How could Abraham bring himself to do it? Hebrews read this story. The story in Genesis 20. And I think he struggled also with exactly the same kind of questions about how Abraham could bring himself to do it. And he saw in this story a remarkable example of faith, because you know Hebrews 11, famous chapter, example after example of faith at work, faith in action, you know that famous chapter. Well, this story is referred to in Hebrews 11 as an example of astonishing faith. And since I've been doing a series on Hebrews 11, I'm going to hear a few more times it. I'll do it on Hebrews 11. Okay, I'll pick a couple. But today's communion, isn't this a good one? Okay, so I want to read from Hebrews 11. Verses 17 through 19. Here we go. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He said it was an act of faith. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. He had received the promises that in and through Isaac God was going to give him a blessing, the whole nation of people. Even though God said it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. While Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That's what the Hebrew writer said about this story. You catch his answer. To the question, how could Abraham bring himself to do it? To sacrifice his one and only son. And the answer you came to is in a way very simple. Also very profound. Quote, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and he did receive Isaac back from death. See, it's resurrection. That's the answer. The Hebrew writer said, Abraham believed so much in God, believed so much in the power of God, believed that God's promises cannot be cut off, cannot be stopped, cannot be terminated by death. He said, Abraham believed that. Can't be stopped by the grave. God's ability to fulfill his promises reach beyond death. You know what? I don't know about you, but when you just read that Genesis story, who thinks that? It doesn't even occur to you. And I put it to you, isn't that typical for you? You just don't think of it. Think of it in our everyday lives. We see all the problems around us, right? There's all kinds of things. More than you say, shit. Don't get together. All right. And so much pain and distress and anguish and suffering and tears and challenges and difficulties. All kinds of stuff that surrounds us and the people in this world every day. And then we tend to think that somehow it's in this life, it's in here and now, it's today, it's on this side of death that we want an answer. And all we can do and see and think of is now. But how often when you're struggling with the whys and wherefores and how to's of this life, how often do you think of resurrection? Probably not right now. When you're thinking of the price to be paid, of what it'll cost you to be obedient to God, to love God above all, when maybe for all I know you have to put your career on the line, or your business, or your friendship, or your health, or God forbid, your son, or your daughter, or Christ, who can pay? Being obedient to God can be so painful and so costly. It shakes you up. And on top of that, to love your neighbor as yourself. How often, friends, do you think then of resurrection? Of the life to come in the kingdom of God? How often do you think of it? An incredible man is Abraham. God said, no wonder he is called the father of all believers. I'm sorry, Abraham. I had you figured all along. In being prepared to sacrifice your son, I had you figured along. In being prepared to sacrifice your future as a nation, do you even see how? Well, you know, Abraham, sorry, I forgot about the resurrection. Sorry, God, I had you wrong too. How can you do this? How can you ask this? I keep forgetting about resurrection. I keep forgetting that your power Your mind, your ability to keep your promises,
reaching beyond this life
into an amazing and glorious future.
I keep forgetting.
I'm thinking now. Keep forgetting that nothing in my whole life can be more important for me and for my children too, than to honor you, and to love you, and to obey you. Cost what may, I keep forgetting. And I keep forgetting not to put all my stock, to pin all my hopes on this life. I forget that. I think there's no more to life than this life. For Abraham was a test. The Bible says it was a test. Do you think God stopped testing us? Do you think have you ever been tested? He hasn't stopped that, has he? Abraham, how much do you love God? Friends, ask yourself too, how much do you love God? You know what? That's the miracle of the salvation. That God says, and now I tell you something. I tell you that for Jesus' sake, for my son's sake, I turn the whole business around. I am not asking you to prove your love for me by sacrificing your son or your daughter. But I'll do it myself. I show my love for you. God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Resurrection. Amen. A prayer. When I surveyed the woman's cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain come but loss, and poor content from all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature money that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life.